Attorney General William Barr has appointed U.S. Attorney John Durham of Connecticut to examine the origins of the Trump-Russia investigation and determine if the FBI's spying on the Trump campaign was lawful and appropriate. Democrats, who for more than 2 years have been crazy about investigations, don't want this one to happen. The move comes among demands for answers over the use of informants on Trump's 2016 campaign. It's just a matter of time before Democrats start attacking this new inspector, John Durham. Democrats have pummeled AG Barr in frustration following revelation in special counsel Robert Mueller's report that the Trump campaign did not collude with Russia, despite numerous offers by Russians to assist in that campaign. AG Barr released the report with minimum redactions that were required by law that Congress itself put into place. In essence, Democrats have been demanding that the Attorney General violate federal law. They know he cannot legally do that, but that has not kept them from acting like spoiled children, keeping their fake news allies on a media blitz to throw the public off the scent of their own evil doing. How ignorant was it for Democrats to keep using vile personal attacks on the Attorney General, the one man who could call their bluff? Every American should want to know the truth about the Trump-Russia collusion lies and where they started from. Unfortunately, Democrats know that the answers will cost them the 2020 election when all is revealed. Their concern is not for the country and truth, but for their political power. And so they will impede and obstruct John Durham's attempts to reveal how the federal government agencies were politicized and used to interfere in the 2016 election. This amounted to an attempted coup against a lawfully elected president. Whether or not you like Donald Trump is not important. What is important is that what happened in the 2016 election should never again happen in America. The swamp, that is Congress, in Washington, is far dirtier than we ever imagined. The swamp has become a sewer. When you wonder why someone would spend $1 million+ to get a job in Congress that pays less than $200,000 a year, consider the lifetime pensions and benefits they receive, and the business and industry contacts that make it available for even the dumbest among them to reach millionaire status. Consider that Maxine Waters is a millionaire with a political IQ less than Ocasio-Cortez. But we cannot pin this on Democrats alone. Congress is an equal opportunity abuser. The only way to get America back on track is to set term limits for Congress. And that will never happen unless the public, Democrats and Republicans, demand an end to career politicians. The Founding Fathers never intended for so-called public service to evolve into a gravy train that keeps a politician in Congress for 30 or more years. During that time, they are wined and dined by corporate lobbyists, and they grow to depend upon money from these lobbyists to get them reelected. To pretend that quid pro quos are not routine on Capitol Hill is like saying that hogs volunteer to be bacon. Right now, Congress is the main nest of vipers poisoning the blood of the federal system. They have no incentive to change. Congress should not be a career. The longer people stay in Congress, the more adept they become at making the system work for them, not their constituents. 12 years should be the maximum amount of time anyone can serve in Congress. People should also run for Congress to serve, not to profit. That's why there should be a 5-year ban on lobbying after a member of Congress leaves office. Draining the swamp is not enough unless you structurally change how the swamp is fed. It will fill right back up. Embedded politicians with large networks of funding, lobbying, and activism that fuel these political machines will not willingly cede power. Old ways of punishing legislatures will not work. Sitting out an election or voting for the opposition simply as a protest vote is part of the current system, and it only plays into the hands of lobbyists and the establishment. Most of the voters want to fix the system, but not if it directly affects themselves. Instead of following the idiom of throw the bums out, many voters embrace throw all the bums out, except my bum. Too many politicians survive with buying their constituents federal goodies and then blame all of the national problems on the other bum. All politicians play the same game, and few are held accountable in the next election. That's why protest votes usually work when the electorate wants to get rid of a specific politician, not the corrupted branch of government exploited by all political parties. If there is no real effort to change the congressional behavior as a body, no real reforms can happen. Politicians in general crave power, even at the cost of the general good. But these politicians will also rationalize that their actions are good. The current system of lobbyists and special interests are indifferent to the political parties. They have shills in all of them, and the politicians who have been there the longest typically are the ones most corrupt. So switching one set of puppets with another is hardly productive. Frankly, getting rid of rhinos, cowards, and charlatans will help, but it's a minor fix because it relies on the idea that the new politicians will not become corrupted. Instead, voters must be prepared to bite the bullet and endure some pain by punishing the cowardly legislators who also provide the constituents pork barrels. Term limits are the answer. Perhaps repealing the 17th Amendment to bring greater accountability to senators could be another answer. Whether those methods will succeed or not, draining the swamp will happen only when Congress is co-opted away from the current leadership. Voters are often offered a fresh new face with all of the comforting words at election time. But the seniority system in Congress dictates that this shiny new face will be seated in the back of the room and has less chance of getting changes done than Elizabeth Warren has of being carved onto a Cherokee tribe's totem pole. Once these freshmen arrive in Washington, they're told where to sit, how to vote, and how to fetch. It is no wonder that Democrats all follow Nancy Pelosi's lead on every vote. Not one of them dares use their own mind when Pelosi and Schumer lay down the law to them. Joe Manchin of West Virginia has occasionally strayed away from Pelosi's herd, but then he's not a Democrat. He's an independent. The truth is that freshman congresspersons have less power than a flashlight with no battery. That's true in both parties, but especially in the Democratic Party, where new members would be wise to purchase Depends underwear so that when Pelosi or Schumer bark, they won't wet themselves. It is glaringly apparent that America's two-party political system has been co-opted by special interests. Each election is now viewed as an opportunity to smear opponents and destroy them. Voters are confronted with negativity and outright lies. There is no honor among these political thieves. If Republicans win the election, Democrats immediately set out to block any progress they might make and to position themselves for the next election cycle. If Democrats win, Republicans do the same thing to them. So where does that leave the average American family? Nothing will ever get done as long as we tolerate this two-party squabbling and the underhanded mainstream media that supports Democrats at every turn. J.D. Hayes of NewsTarget.com pointed out that the Washington Post has been exposed as a CIA front propaganda rag, working to overthrow the Trump administration and install political puppets. The Post is owned by Amazon founder and multi-billionaire Jeff Bezos. Amazon earns billions of dollars each year, but pays no taxes. When Donald Trump made a threat to break up the Amazon monopoly and force them to pay their share of taxes, Bezos turned his sights on Trump and is using the Washington Post for political purposes to save Amazon in terms of taxes and in terms of antitrust laws. The same year that Bezos bought the Washington Post, 2013, he was awarded a $600 million contract from the CIA, more than two times what the ailing Post had cost him. That's a conflict of interest, which Bezos' paper, to this day, never discloses per universal journalistic protocol when reporting on U.S. intelligence. Ironically, Jeff Bezos paid his ex-wife far more than he paid for the Washington Post when she found pictures of him in the buff with adulterous visions in his head. Bezos's Washington Post led the charge that Donald Trump colluded with Russia in the 2016 election. The Post is famous for using anonymous sources in their smear campaign against Trump. Joining the Washington Post is, among other left-wing papers, the New York Times, with its own personal agenda against Trump. Couple those with the mainstream media composed of ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, and MSNBC, and you have a stone wall of fake news designed to drive Donald Trump from office. The average American does not have time to try and unravel the decaying political system, nor time to research the media war against Trump. And that leaves us wide open for disinformation. The elites of the Democratic Party control most of America's most powerful media outlets. They bear much of the responsibility for the Washington swamp. It does not take a polling expert to tell you that a majority of Americans want Washington to work on solving problems that make our lives better, not on advancing their own beltway careers through noisy, never-ending spectacles of partisan theater. Americans know the drill by now. Careerist politicians yell. They hold themselves endless hearings berating witnesses. They make themselves look busy. And then they do nothing of actual substance to help the people who elected them in the first place. No ordinary citizen thinks for a second that congressional Democrats are making a principled stand for a Constitution they readily ignored through 8 years of the Barack Hussein Obama administration's executive overreach. Voters see how the political establishment treats the Constitution as a tool of convenience, useful to praise at times, then easily ignored if it gets in their way. Everybody knows today's maniacal, foaming-at-the-mouth performances in Congress is about one thing only: power. Congressional Democrats don't even pretend to care about governing anymore. Not fixing our horribly broken immigration system, not rebuilding infrastructure, not jobs, nor bringing the high cost of prescription drugs down. Just a constant barrage of criticism and dogging of Donald Trump. Trump is president largely because Americans couldn't stand another of Washington's do-nothing, business-as-usual, insider political circus. The main clowns in that circus are Adam Schiff and Jerry Nadler, two Democrats who are obsessed with destroying Donald Trump. Two monkeys with a deflated football could accomplish more in Congress than these two buffoons. Nadler looks like the Pillsbury Doughboy after being caught outside in a hurricane, and it's embarrassing to watch his dog and pony shows. Press Secretary Sarah Sanders released a statement in response to House Democrats' ongoing refusal to accept the conclusions of the Mueller report and, by extension, their refusal to accept the legitimacy of the 2016 election. It read in part, "The American people see through Chairman Nadler's desperate ploy to distract from the president's historically successful agenda and our booming economy. Neither the White House nor Attorney General Barr will comply with Chairman Nadler's unlawful and reckless demands. The American people deserve a Congress that is focused on solving real problems like the crisis at the border, high prescription drug prices, our country's crumbling infrastructure, and so much more. Sadly, the swamp is proving that it doesn't listen to a single word of common sense." Patricia McCarthy of the American Thinker pointed out the ascension of the swamp creatures, and her view was right on. Obama's cabinet amounted to a host of above-the-law narcissists who were invested only in keeping their own powerful positions and pensions and in punishing the people and groups they loathed. Democrats today claim that Attorney General William Barr is protecting President Trump. Not a single Democrat spoke up when Eric Holder admitted to being Obama's wingman and became the only attorney general ever to be held in contempt of Congress. Eric Holder was unable to hide the fact that he was the most racist attorney general in American history. Holder orchestrated the gun-running scheme called Fast and Furious. He, with Obama's approval, let guns be sold to drug cartels in the United States so that our Second Amendment could be blamed when hundreds of innocent Mexicans would be killed, which they were. Holder was the man who told the DOJ that he would not prosecute any of his people, even when the Black Panthers, Holder's people, intimidated voters with baseball bats at a Philadelphia polling place. Then there was Ben Rhodes, the boy wonder, who claimed credit for the terrible Iran deal and joked about how easy it was to manipulate the echo chamber that is today's media. And Valerie Jarrett, Obama's Iranian-born Muslim consigliere, who ran the puppet show with Obama dangling from her strings. And Jonathan Gruber, who bragged about pulling the Obamacare wool over the stupid public's eyes. Loretta Lynch was another willing tool for the Obama administration. She sold out like the rest of them. Power and phony prestige was more important to her than character or the law. At least Lynch has sense enough to duck the media and lay lower than a Swedish pancake. Now we know that the whole D.C. swamp is full of such people. The seventh floor of the FBI, where the bigwigs plot their schemes, was shot through with pompous egos who delighted in their own power to destroy like little children knocking down another kid's sandcastle. James Comey, McCabe, Rosenstein, Yates, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, and company are each and every one saboteurs of our formerly democratic republic. They decided the corrupt but known quantity, Clinton, would again inhabit the White House and not the outsider, Trump. They felt completely comfortable spying on innocent Americans, ruining the lives of some of them, like Carter Page and Michael Flynn. They were willing to fabricate any and all manner of lies, even a phony dossier created by Clinton operatives and laundered to appear as if it came from Russia. They did that in order to try and take down Donald Trump. None of them likely asked, "Do you know how many different kinds of laws we've broken?" This bunch of misfits planning a coup against the country never questioned the rightness of their plans. The Strzok page texts prove that beyond a shadow of doubt, they didn't question themselves. They felt entitled to annihilate any person or group that they deplored. Then there is James Clapper and John Brennan, addle-brained and as vengeful as they come. How on earth did such men and women reach the highest level of power in our once democratic government? Under Obama, the government was weaponized at the highest levels of every agency. The IRS, EPA, HUD, FDA, FEC, FCC, DNI, DOD, and other acronyms too obscure to recognize, but wielding enormous power over mere citizens. While corruption has always been part of the inhuman condition among the denizens of D.C., the level of corruption grew under Bill Clinton and exploded under the Obama administration. Obama and Hillary are both students of the communist agitator Saul Alinsky. They adhere to Alinsky's rules for radicals and have little patience for the needs and wants of regular Americans, for whom they have only the greatest contempt. While there are more than a few talented men and women of character in government, they are still the exception in the upper echelons, not the rule. There are even fewer men and women of character in today's mainstream media. Far too many of these people, our so-called leaders, rose to their positions of power by default, with other people's money. People rich enough to buy influence or their own dynastic money, like the Kennedys. How can men and women of character and aptitude for leadership go up against candidates funded by an evil man like George Soros? They cannot. And so we are saddled with ignoble people who remain in the deep state and are doing their best to destroy the most consequential and conservative president we've had since Ronald Reagan. How is it that people of good character no longer want to work for the government or run for elective office? The answer is because it is not just a swamp. It is a toxic, venomous morass of self-serving lowlifes. There are now 22 Democrats who have announced that they are running for president. The latest was New York Mayor Bill de Blasio, who has as much chance of winning the Democratic nomination as Rosie O'Donnell has of bypassing a buffet. So why are all these people running? There's several reasons, of course, but the most important ones involve publicizing themselves, getting a book deal, and increased speaking fees. Feeding their ego is important to these hopeless Democrats. Joe Biden is the front runner at the moment because of name recognition. But Biden has been in Washington for almost 50 years. He's part of the problem, not the solution. Biden says that he will fix what's wrong with America. But where has he been for almost half a century? Biden is almost 77 years old. He joined the Senate in 1972. if elected president, Biden would be older than Ronald Reagan when he left the Oval Office. At the end of his first term, Biden would be 81 years old. He's already slurring his speech and making nonsensical statements. For the longest time, Joe Biden pretended to be just like the ordinary working man, without the wealth of many of his colleagues. But we are now learning that while Biden kept his income in check, he orchestrated great wealth for his son, Hunter Biden, as vice president, with deals in China and the Ukraine, both of which are now under investigation. But tottering along behind Biden in the polls is Vermont's socialist senator, Bernie Sanders, who is a year older than Biden and has ideas wilder than Anthony Weiner sending dirty photos on a fax machine to underage girls. And from there, we find Democrats like Kamala Harris, who believes that taking guns away from lawful owners will stop gun violence. Elizabeth Warren, who claimed to be of Indian descent in order to edge out other applicants for a lucrative college faculty job. Elizabeth Warren has less Indian blood than George Custer, and the only Indian blood he had was on his boots. Warren endorses Ocasio-Cortez's wacky Green New Deal, where we do away with airplanes and cars. Cows have to go because cows pass gas. Well, Cortez and Warren pass gas as well. Do they have to go? How about Grandma? The rest of the Democratic field of candidates will have fun on MSNBC and CNN with their appearances and on late-night TV shows, but their percentage of vote totals combined will be less than straws in California restaurants. I thank you for listening. I'll be back again next week. Same time, same station. You can contact me by sending me email at comments@tomjoyner.net. comments@tomjoyner.net. I read each one of the emails. I try to reply to all of them, although it's getting to be a very difficult job as it increases greatly. But thank you. I'll see you again next week.